Welcome back to Eco Talk, and thanks for staying with us all hour. We have a treat to reward you today as part of our collaboration with the Natural Resources Defense Council. It's From Earth to America, the TBS comedy show produced by NRDC trustee Lori David, and was on television last November. Here is Lori's husband, Larry, of Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld fame, explaining how and why he became an eco-activist.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I stand before you tonight a new man. All right, that's being a little optimistic. But I say that because after a lifetime of indifference to nature, I have changed. I am now a full-fledged, committed activist. How could such a transformation take place? How did I go from being Larry David, radical narcissist, to Larry David, radical environmentalist? Let me give you some background. I grew up in Brooklyn. Of all the wonders and pleasures that exist in nature, none of them could be found in Brooklyn. The only grass I ever saw was on the divider of the Belt Parkway. There were no flowers, just artificial ones. Every apartment had artificial flowers. People took great pride in their artificial flowers. And fruit, let's not leave out the fruit. Anything fake, we love good fake things. The greatest compliment you could give somebody was to mistakenly pick up a piece of their artificial fruit and take a bite out of it. That made their day. But I couldn't smell a real flower anyway. I was born with the ability to only smell disgusting things. I never smell anything pleasant, ever. You can shove a lilac up my nose and I wouldn't smell it. But urine and BO I can smell from 3 blocks away. And Brooklyn was not wanting for disgusting odors. Bus fumes, garbage, cigarette smoke. Everybody in Brooklyn smoked, even 9-year-olds. The whole borough was hacking and coughing and spitting. There was phlegm everywhere. It was flying at you from every direction, out of windows, cars, anywhere you walked. You had to keep ducking so you wouldn't get hit. It was like a shooting gallery. And of course, needless to say, there were no animals in my life. My mother hated animals, all of them. If she had her way, she would kill every living animal on the planet. She looked at extinction as a good thing. When an animal was put on the endangered species list, she went out and got drunk. Let them all die. Who needs them? What good are they doing? There was nothing in nature we appreciated. Sunsets were mocked. Anyway, whatever harm's been done to the environment, and I know there's been a lot, it's never really affected me personally in any way. That is, until a few months ago. The first thing that happened was I noticed something on my face, and it turned out to be a benign skin cancer, which was caused by ozone depletion on me. All right, you know, it was benign. Of course, when people noticed the bandage and asked me what happened, you know, I told them it was cancer. I played it up a bit. It's the first time anyone's felt sorry for me since they published my income 8 years ago. When you have money, the only way you can get any sympathy at all is to say you have cancer. You can lose a limb, no one would care. Only when they know you're going to die do you get anyone feeling sorry for you. And even then, some people don't. Serves them right, the rich prick. And that's what I am now, a rich prick. Prick always follows the word rich. If you're rich, you're a prick. Just the way schmuck always follows the word poor. So I went from a poor schmuck to a rich prick without hardly any transition at all. I was a poor schmuck longer than I've been a rich prick. Frankly, I'm not that much happier as a prick than a schmuck. I never thought I'd become a prick. Neither did my friends. They said, he'll never be a prick. And then boom, I'm a prick. Now I have all new friends. All pricks. You know, schmucks call me from time to time. I say, I can't talk to you, I'm a prick. So I had the skin cancer. Okay, it was benign. They took it off. Not terrible. I'm okay. My life goes on. But then, a few weeks after that, I was reading the newspaper when something caught my eye. And what I read has changed my life and brought me to this stage tonight. I'll sum it up in one word. Tuna. That's right, my friends. Tuna. I read that there's mercury in tuna, and it's just not safe to eat it anymore. Oh, sure, there's mercury in a lot of other fish. But I don't care about those other fish. I care about tuna. What am I supposed to have for lunch? I've been ordering tuna for lunch every day since I was 10 years old. This has been the only decision of my life that I can make every day with any degree of certainty and feel good about it. And I was a tuna connoisseur. I could tell the difference between Bumblebee and Starkist. I made my own, me, in the kitchen, chopping and dicing. I had my own recipe with pickles and peppers. So I appeal to all of you to do whatever you can to clean up this planet. So one day, in the not-too-distant future, I can once again sit down at a restaurant and say, a tuna sandwich on whole wheat toast with lettuce and tomato. Hold the mayo.
That is America's cutest curmudgeon, Larry David. If you are inspired and informed or entertained by our program this week or any week, we welcome you to join our current sponsors in supporting EcoTalk. It's made possible by the generous support from Pet Ecology, Earth Justice, Union of Concerned Scientists, and the NRDC. For more information, we invite you to go to our website, which can be found at www.ecotalk.net. Also want to say a special thanks to my co-producers, Shauna Weber and Debbie Friedman, without whom there would not be a show. So thanks to all you green gals, and go out and have a great green week. See you next time.